Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka, Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka. Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana. Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara. Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka, Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka. Kachavadanda Gauri Nandana, Kachavadanda Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara. Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka, Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka. Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara, Gangadhar Shiva Shambho Shankara. Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka, Jai Kanandaya Kha, Jai Vigna Nasaka. Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana Gauri Nandana, Kachavadana
想不想的尴尬的希腊想不想的
Beautiful, as usual. I didn't listen much because I was talking here. And then I see I have my camera on and I'm going like this and this. And I just told Rose from a couple of weeks ago, don't do that. And guess what? That'll teach me. Yeah. So, yeah, you stopped chanting right when I was ready to join in.
I can continue.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you, though. One of my dearest chants.
Yes.
That and the water chant are very important chants. Namaste, everyone. I will wait for you this week and see where we go. And let's keep it on a really wonderful satsang trajectory. Let's have a really wonderful, wonderful satsang. You offer your contribution through questions or insights or how it's going for you or about the Gita or however it is. And we'll have a really lovely, deep satsang. I have a few points that are forming, but they have not really, really come to fruition yet. And I prefer to be, let's use the word, inspired to speak about it. When it's really prevalent. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait for you. Oh my goodness, we have an entire satsang already formed. Let's not add any hands until we see how what kind of timing we're participating in. Hold on. Bring your hands together. Go to your heart. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. There. Victory to everyone, to the highest and the highest and the ones who are inspired to find that from within themselves. Okay. Ken, are you there?
Yes, good. I am, Guruji. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Good morning.
Good morning.
And blessings to you and the Sangha.
Thank you.
Oh, it was lovely that you asked us to hold on and bring our hands together. It felt different, yeah, with the palms together. That was really a nice gesture and suggestion. Thank you.
Sri and I are speaking about when we're going to create the meditation. We're going to do it's in the works.
Wonderful.
The Zoom meditation.
It's always good to be taking part in the group kind of practices, meditations, the Gayatri offerings and all of that. It just somehow energizes the whole process.
It does. Yes, and I love your language. Your language was extremely well done.
That's what you were saying last week, actually, about our way. You know, other than overcoming useless thinking, is also about the choice of words
that we use.
Yes.
Yes, because words are very important. They convey from deep, deep within. And sometimes, Ken, I was just saying a little earlier, we use the same words again and again, and they get a little stale. But I would ask that, even though that's so, understand that the intention here is to touch deeply so that you can or will consider the matter at hand.
Indeed, Guruji, yes. When it's not used flippantly, yes. So, Guruji, I was just
go ahead, please.
Considering what you said in one of the transmissions for the Bhagavad Gita on the three gunas, and you mentioned very clearly that we are predominantly sattvic. So that was so settling, really.
Well, the Sangha is predominantly sattvic. Not everybody is predominantly sattvic. You're not born into predominant sattvic.
No, those who are on the dharmic path.
I just want to get that clear.
Yes, yeah. We who are on the dharmic path.
Yes.
Yes, are predominantly sattvic. So don't need to worry about it when we're sometimes a bit rajasic or other times a bit, you know, tamasic, because, yeah, the predominant thing is the emphasis here.
Yes, but tamas isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Be very clear that none of the gunas are bad. They're just sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Even sattva is the springboard to realization.
Mm-hmm.
Rajas, we eat rajasically. We spend our money rajasically. We have, so Rajas is very ambitious, going for it. Tamas is like, da, 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 boom, boom, like that. Pretty much that would be the theme song of Tamas. Tamas is also very good for us sometimes. Just to forget everything, just to lay in the sun or listen to the rain or just cuddle up in our blankets or just throw it off for a while. So, but you don't want to be predominantly tamasic. You'll never get anything done, ever. Even eating or anything. You don't want to be predominantly rajasic because it's too much going for it.
Yes.
And then sattva is the springboard for realization. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
It's amazing how you explain these things, Guruji. Yes, I'm always in awe. Yes, when I listen to the, you know, extra explanation, additional explanation that you provide in the transmissions. Because to read the Bhagavad Gita is one thing, but to have your inflection on it is another.
Well, thank you. But you know what, Ken? If we did it again, it could be quite different. Because it's so multi, you know, viewed that, you know, Madhu is just saying here that the Bible provides for God to be big and over there and people to be small and over here. And I was saying to her, that's true. But once one matures, the Bible begins to feed that maturity and it's read in a different way. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. And just one other thing, actually, Guruji, it's about something that has cropped up a few times recently about cremation versus burial, actually, because, you know, when people think about their wills, what to do. So, from what I've observed is that most awakened beings are buried, but not the same way as normal burial. And then others, even for yourself, you've talked about being cremated and your ashes being scattered or
cremated.
Being returned to the Ganga. So can you talk a little bit about the difference as to why the different approaches?
I would say that the body is absolutely immaterial once the spirit has departed, and it really doesn't matter what happens to the body one way or the other. You know, the Tibetans, they have a sky burial, and they cut the body up in pieces and feed it to the vultures, and or sometimes just leave the body there and let the vultures go for it, so the vultures eat and fly away. And then in Bali, Indonesia, they put the body on the earth and cover it with a basket. And you can go and look at these bodies, and they don't smell. No animals are coming after them. They're just going back to the earth. So from dust to dust, you know, for it all belongs to the earth. This body belongs to the earth. It's on loan. So choose what you will. And, you know, it's more important, Ken, that you, what your last thoughts are than what will happen to the body.
So is it different for the bodies of Ananda Mahima and Maharaji? Are they still acting as energy beacons?
Of course.
Yeah.
So is Jesus. Yeah, so is Buddha. I mean, these are really big energy beacons. And I think in India, the tradition, maybe in Bhutan, maybe in Tibet, the burial traditions are, yeah, Mahatmas oftentimes get laid into a Mahasamadhi. But the body's just a hunk of meat. Beautiful one. Thank God for its incredible detail and diamondism. Dynamism.
Dynamic.
Still, once the spirit is gone, it's just a rotting piece of flesh, nothing more. So I want to honor my body. I want when I leave that maybe some people come around and offer these ashes to Mother Ganga and Lakshmanjula. Otherwise, it's not for me anything.
Thank you, Guruji.
Some roses on the Ganga, some roses on the Ganga.
Yes, definitely. Lots and lots of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a big bandara, big celebration. Yay!
For sure. Yay! Jaima, Jai Jaima.
Namaste.
Namaste, Guruji. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Love you.
Love you, too.
Hey, Gandharvi.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Stay. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
I would like to ask you what it means exactly in the Aratri Puja when we apply the sandalwood paste on the third eye and on the images of the sands.
You know, the sandalwood is said to be an activator of the third eye, and that's why. And it's respectful, and it's also an advertisement, so to speak. I've been to the puja.
Thank you.
It is like that. And it has a wonderful fragrance. I've been to the sandalwood forest in, it used to be called Madras, now it's Chennai, somewhere over there. Oh my gosh, how wonderful. It's just like, oh, so intoxicating. And you know, in some of the poetry of Rumi and Kubir, they speak about spirituality and the exaltation of spirituality as being intoxicated. I think Kubir said, when grapes turn to wine, it is something like this. When grapes turn to wine, it is something like this.
Thank you. It's a beautiful image.
Yeah, it is. Are you chanting?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. You're going to be a great chanter. Maybe you already are. Who knows? We'll see, huh? We're not going to judge it. We're just going to listen. Okay?
Thank you.
How is everything at home? Good?
It's good. I feel very welcome. It's good weather. My plants are happy.
Good.
Me too.
You got a haircut.
Yes. It's very easy to make it by myself.
No. Easy to shampoo and comb out too. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you. I love you.
I love you too. That's easy. Hey, Max and Gabriella.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste.
Yeah, I do have a question for you, and I contemplated about the word of Atma, Atman, and just from my experience, I don't understand it. It's like whenever I'm touched by this big consciousness, it's so obvious that it's without any limits and without any form. And so...
Atman, show me the form of Atman.
Yes. So how can there be two without form, you know?
Okay, now one more question. Show me the limit of Atman. So you have imposed two ideas upon Atman, which has confused you.
Okay, yeah.
I would say just a little bit, not a big deal.
Yeah.
I would say the soul quality of a person is very important. It's what gives the person individuality over the appearance of their body. Sometimes people say, oh, he's such a good soul. Sometimes they say, oh, he's such a wretched soul. Sometimes they say, oh, such a poor soul. Sometimes, what a brilliant soul, huh? So it has to do with the, I would call it the mirror prior to the personality, and the personality, the personality is a expression of the Atman. And I would say that the mirror, and why do I say there's a mirror prior? Because I always impose something too. I impose that the word person means mask. In Greek, always it hits me when I say person. So we're speaking about that which is prior to the mask. And it's that which reflects the world in response to the world. And yes, I would say develops or undevelops. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, it resonates, and I just realized that it's a miracle, but it's mystic. It's not something I can understand or get a hold of.
Right,
and it's still not... it resonates. There is some quality that as you say, it's reflecting the individuality, which is each of us is unique, and so this has to have a real reflection in spirit. I get that.
Yes, and I don't feel that there is. We can define it like we can define space. And yet the personality is a very direct reflection of how we are in Atman. And Atman is a word. It's only a directive word. It's what takes you to, that which is eternal, that which is the expression of my life, that which is emerges from me as a response to life, that which departs the body upon the last breath. You know, we can go on and on and on. In Hindu in Buddhism, they absolutely refuse Atman. And my sense is there's a lot of reasons for that, and one is that to try to contain what cannot be contained. It does have, there are qualities, and that's why Atman has a word.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, because I felt there must be a reason that it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and also, yeah, there's some resonance with the word soul. Although the way we use soul in Western cultures is very limiting, and it's kind of binding the soul to the earthly experience, like with the idea of guilt in Christian traditions. That
That's right.
That soul is connected to guilt, so that seems off.
It is off, because guilt and shame have to be transformed as reflection.
Yes, and what I understand is that Atman is really that lifts me beyond the limits like the past actions and the consequences.
Yes, well, love will take care of that.
Yes.
Love will take care of that. And the teachings of love absolutely dissolve karmas. It straightens out everything. Yeah, Atman's not very easy to define. I will look in my Sanskrit dictionary and see what it says. I will look in my Zen Buddhist dictionary and see what it says there too. And I will look in other dictionaries and see what soul says. Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Yeah. Sure, hold on.
You said form shame and guilt into reflection.
Yeah, Ananda is asking about the point of transforming shame and guilt to reflection. So in reflection, we're able to take a look at things without getting emotionally pinged. Huh? Yes. And we will be emotionally touched. When we're talking about emotional calm, we're never talking about emotionless. We're talking about the ability to see beyond the waves of the emotions that we create. Okay? So guilt, if there's a guilty feeling, there's something to take a look at. But it's not to own that feeling so that you bring yourself to a huge drama. or shame. Shame is something to look at. In Buddhism, I think it's a wrong translation. I think the translation's wrong. But they encourage shame. But I think the word is not shame. I think the word is, again, reflection. To really take a look at what it is without wearing that cloth.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to wear that cloth once you see what it is and you're willing to admit your part and to move along, seeing that, it can be very, very quick. It can be very quick.
In my experience, it's like the first mirror I see is that I put a judgment on somebody. And then when I look into that mirror, I can see what I'm judging in myself. And by staying in that practice, my capability of holding that feelings that come up without...
Yeah. I wouldn't deny the feeling, Max, but I would not begin to wear them and dramatize around them and to belittle myself around them or anyone else. So there is something that touches the heart because we're involved with something that we need to look at, something that we need to consider how to move through it and beyond it in our lives. But we're not going to wear the hair shirt of guilt and shame because it never ends.
Absolutely.
People say, let's have a retreat on shame. No, let's not. You know, let's have a retreat on the shadow. No, let's stand in the light. Let's have a retreat on guilt. No, just correct it, adjust.
Yeah.
Just adjust so that you don't.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding going on. Like people getting attached to working with shadow, with trauma, and creating a new identity out of it. But
yeah,
on the other hand,
there's a place for it, but it's not. Yes. It's not an end all, and you will mature past that. You will. Shame and guilt, they're messengers, and they should be listened to, but never carried as an identity ever. A yogi never will, never will.
Okay. Anyway, thank you so much, because I found what you said about Atman really resonates. And so,
I looked into it a little deeper. I've never really looked, Max, at defining Atman. I've always, as you say, this resonates. Yes. So when it resonates, it's more than enough. I don't need all the words and containers. But I feel in a spiritual, I don't even like the word spiritual anymore. It's driving me crazy. Spiritual. Content that there's something about upholding the soul in the light of love and learning and moving along. And, you know, hold on, I want to say this because, I'm going to say it, so to want to say it is silly. Look at what we went through just there. There are these vanishing concepts, love, Atman, Dharma, that are so extraordinarily beautiful. But once we actually have a realization beyond the words, let's put it that way, then that concept completely vanishes. We don't know what love is, but we will walk in the light of love every single moment. And we know what that means, right? Isn't that right? We know what it means, but we don't know what love means because it's too grand. It's way beyond, it's giving me a lot of cold chills. It's way beyond any definition that we could pin on it to have to be like that. And some of the definitions that we pin on it are absolutely true. I love the fragrance of a rose. So there's these concepts for us that encourage us and enrich our realization that actually fall apart when we realize them. And we can still say, he's a great soul. I love the smell of a rose. A sunny day is wonderful. You mean the world to me. They don't lose their meaning, but the deeper sense is so exquisitely wordless. And that's what happens with some of these concepts of extraordinary beauty they just lose any minute meaning whatsoever. And we still say, I love you. And we still know what that means. Isn't that true? We still do. But something way deep inside our heart is far beyond any of the language that can be spoken about any of these great qualities.
Thank you so much.
Namaste.
I had my hand up as well, Shantimai.
Impatiently waiting.
No, not at all. Taking a beat now after this depth.
Okay.
I have listened to chapter 17.
Yeah.
Most didn't get through it completely. I went until minute 23, took a note. And I... austerity was something that really landed with me. Like, I came to the conclusion that actually austerity also is a realization, because really deeply lived, which of course I don't in this sense, but I felt like it expands. I start understanding it's so huge. And it's so all-consuming. It connects to the things you Ken spoke about, and you spoke about that language, our language, it kind of, in some ways, it gets a bit limited, and we keep using the same words, but at the same time, it's in the service of clarity and truth and austerity. And this is what gives me chills. Something completely landed with me, that it's the austerity in speech, in thought.
That's so beautiful. Honest to God, you've almost shot something into my heart.
Mm.
Really, I just like this. My eyes are moist. Let's put it that way. You've touched me so deeply. Austerity of language, yes, 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 yes. Anyhow, please continue with what you were saying.
Well, actually, that was pretty much it. This is how far I have come with it.
Yes.
That it is, it keeps getting bigger and bigger the longer I just sit with the word and the meaning of austerity.
Well, Krishna wrote the Bhagavad Gita just for you, by the way.
Yes, he did.
He said, Gabriella, she's somebody I'm going to see in the future. She's right here in my heart and soul. She's going to be born. Her body will be born sometime over there. I'm writing this epic spiritual wisdom for her.
And I thank him so much, and for sending you to explain it to me. Because I would be lost without your transmissions. No, I wouldn't be lost, but I wouldn't get the depth. Yeah.
There's one of the places in the Gita on chapter 17 that I didn't mention. And it touches me also very deeply, where Krishna says, it not only hurts, I'm ad-libbing, it not only hurts the person who is, I don't know, opposed to the injunction of the scriptures, but it hurts I who dwell in all beings. And it's like, I feel out of the Gita, that's one of the statements that is so stunning, because Krishna is the imperishable, the multidimensional wisdom, not necessarily anyone called Krishna. And he admits as a persona that that which is in all beings suffers when one turns themselves away from themselves. I was very touched by that very little statement. I didn't make any commentary on it at all. That even the great, even great spirit suffers when we're not true to ourselves, I guess that would be the word, through all of the really magnificent qualities that we, that are innately in ourselves. Did you just love when Krishna said, every person is born with faith, innately born with faith? I thought, yes, 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 thank you. Oh, just to have somebody of Krishna's, what's the word? What is it?
Caliber?
Yeah, caliber. To say what you know is so, and attempting to put out to people, because faith is oftentimes, people say, I don't have any. I don't have any. Yes, you do. You have everything. So there it is, anyhow. Thank you for letting me speak.
Oh, thank you so much.
Namaste.
Namaste.
You're teaching about faith as a mental, and I have passed it on also, because
great
that it is something that we don't need to cultivate, but to remember it is.
That's right.
Such an important teaching, actually, because you think it's something that you have to acquire out here.
Right.
And
no, that's right.
You're practicing faith anytime you open a can of beans or get into your car. That is,
that's right,
life-changing teaching.
Antisa's saying that sometimes people have the sense that faith is somewhere else, but it's really important to see that it's always within you. And she works with people, and she said she's passed that on. I'm really glad about that.
You can see the way that people just illuminate. They're like, oh.
Right. People are, yeah, because it's there. Mm-hmm. So you can deny it if you want, but it's still there. Hello, Shanti.
Namaste.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Yeah, good.
I have been up and down, and I'm feeling quite emotional still right now. I felt very touched when you were talking about that Krishna had written the Bhagavad Gita just for Gabrielle, which of course is, you know, me as well and everybody. And,
oh, my goodness. I was talking to Gabrielle, not you. Why don't you just let somebody else take a little moment of glory? Of course it's for you. I could say the same thing for you. Be very careful with that kind of self-importance. Be very careful with that, because that hurts. You know, I tell you, Shanti, Mira, what's interesting in our Sangha is sometimes I don't know why I will, but I do glorify somebody, because there's a moment of really beauty that I feel I want to acknowledge. And I'm happy to acknowledge. And I've seen our Sangha grow through that, to be happy too. And not to feel, oh, she's paying attention to this one, but not this one. Oh, why don't I get that attention? Oh, you know, so those would be the normal responses, I do believe. However, our Sangha has grown into really giving everyone a moment of whatever it is. I can't say what it is. But if I say to Sundari, Sundari's sitting here, Sundari is so kind. Not everybody else feels, well, I'm not kind. It that they've overcome that kind of a normal response. And nobody has to be embarrassed about getting their moment. And nobody, and people enjoy that moment when people are recognized. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So be very careful about that, Shanti, because it can be a thorn that's deeply set in one's side. This Gita was written for Gabrielle. There, take that. Own that for a little while. Enjoy it. Anything
else? Yeah.
You can speak now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have a little argument here.
Okay.
What I just hold on. What I just said to you was very important for you. It was important for all of us. Actually, it's very important for all of us to have a moment of enjoying somebody else's glory. Huh? That's all I was saying. And now, can I speak now? Yes, you can speak now. Please speak now.
Okay, so what I wanted to say was, I was saying that I did really enjoy that moment that you had with Gabrielle. I wasn't trying to make it about me, but I also was trying not to belittle.
Actually, you were too.
I said.
I'm not going to let you get away with it. You were. Because no, you didn't have to mention it at all. But you did mention it. And the reason you mentioned it is because you wanted the Gita to be for you too. And it is.
That's all I was saying.
Well, very important for you, because this is part of what makes you uneasy with yourself sometimes. And you're a very, very sincere and lovely person. And oftentimes, you're so self negating, actually, that you don't
actually.
That's
what I was trying not to do by saying it's about me as well. So I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
Hello. Right. I'm not going for it. You're not going to do that with me. Go ahead. Yeah, I absolutely refuse. And if I don't see you again, okay. If I love you forever, okay. That's for sure. If you're here forever, okay. I'm not going to play the game. Go ahead.
I don't even really know what game we're not playing, though.
Shall I reiterate?
If you like.
If you like.
Well, I would like to hear your wisdom. Yes, please.
Be very, very careful about putting yourself down. That's what I've got to say. All of that culminated in that. And you do it a lot. You're quite mean to yourself sometimes. Oh, yeah, there goes the head. Yeah, I know it's true. I know it's true. I've been watching it for years. And there's a really good person there that hardly ever gets any attention whatsoever because you have this addiction. I think it's not an addiction. That's a wrong word. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. You have a propensity towards sadness because, here it's all about me. It's all about me and how I feel and how I am and what's wrong with me. And there's nothing wrong with you. I will love it when that comes very clear to your heart, because that's going to be a moment of transformation for you.
I'm looking for it.
I love what you just said.
I work so hard at it. I do yoga and take a chance.
You're not to work hard at it. You don't work hard at it. You just go to love. There's no working hard at it. Working hard at it just means that you put more attention right there on me and what's wrong with me. And I'm trying to work through it. This is a problem with some therapies, is I'm trying to work through it. I get that. However, just come to love and be kind to yourself. That's the remedy. Actually, you look very beautiful today. You look better than I've seen you in a long time. Go Thank pick you. Some flowers. Go enjoy this. Go enjoy the blue of the sky. Go swimming. Have a nice time. Stop thinking that your life is just terrible and that everything piles up on you. It doesn't. You have some choices that you can make that are really, really good for you. Really good for you. Really soothing to the soul. But, you know, people who feel so bad about themselves, not every moment, but often, rarely have anyone that they can talk to. Why? Because that's all they think about and nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear the constant problems that you think that you have, that you don't have, that you create and make up. What if you went swimming one day? Just went out to the ocean, went swimming late in the sun.
I do lay in the sun most days and pick flowers most days and look at the sky most days. I will go swimming though as well.
Yeah, well, you can defend what I've just said, but it's really important what I'm saying to you. That's why I didn't write back. Because it's a constant berating yourself, constant, constant. It's a constant hurting yourself. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I love you with all of my heart. I take the, hey, look. I'm, you don't need to thank me, but I tell you, I'm going to take the risk. If you don't like what I'm saying, I know it's touching you. I know it's actual. I know it's on par. And yeah.
And it's true. I don't find it easy to hear, but I'm willing to listen because I want to grow and I want to change and I want to learn. So what do you consider okay, everything you say.
What do you want to change? Let's go there. What would you like to change?
I want to be able to see the divine in me and around me when I can't.
That. No, no. There,
when I haven't been able
on,
to.
Hold on. You hold on right now. There is that point. I can't. Of course you can. There's that point. I can't. I want this, but I can't. What do you think the divine looks like other than the lady who's in the mirror with the pink shirt on?
I think for me in my life, I always found it somewhere else, but I'm learning to look within.
That's not going to happen. You're never going to find it somewhere else. You're only going to find it from within. Even those who, like Madhu said today, feel the separateness of God, they will never, ever have that sense of God if there's not love for God. That's going to be the uniting point. So it's everything that you're experiencing right now, you are seeing, but you refuse. You refuse it, absolutely refuse. No, it has to look like this. My expectation will be that it, I don't know what it really is, but it's not this. Well, one day you're going to find out it is this. And that's the most wonderful thing of all. What a disappointment. But I'm telling you, when you do see like that, the subtleties will begin to come into your life where you see, boy, this kind of mundane sort of world is extraordinary. And I live in true gratitude and my heart is is guiding me, and it's swelling in the ordinary everyday life. It just does not have to be anything that I ever thought, because whatever you think, it's not that. You should come to Teradasacha. We'd have a good time with you. I wouldn't bring this stuff up a lot. If you brought it up, I'd bring it up. We would have a really good time. I love you with all my heart. I love you. This is so interesting. I love you so deeply. And I know that our relationship is meaningful for you, but the shine of is that the right word? The importance of your realization forever, whatever you want to change, you have to be the love that you're looking for. I don't know all this stuff about self-love and how hard that journey must be, because now we have some attention on what we do and don't do and how it is and isn't, and if it's, is it self-love or isn't it self-love, and I don't know how to do that. Just be the love that you are. Oh, I'm not. Well, I can't. You have to, those are the transformations that you can make. Not only can I will, I am. Huh? If I was near you, I would hug you, even though I'm not a huggy person.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I just love you to pieces, but the transformation that you are to make, and you say what you want and what you want to see, comes out of your heart in the shape of what you understand love to be outward, huh? So to speak, that you are what you're seeking. Hold on. I pray that you will be very good to yourself and create these transformations for yourself so that you can come out of self-harshness.
I pray that too. And I love you too.
I know that. See, you love me too. That's a lot. Yeah. Be well. I, you know, also, one more thing before we close, Shanti Mira. I'm not real interested in speaking to you like this all the time because I don't want this to be the dynamic between us. That's why I don't write back to you sometimes. I'm not so interested in the things that you're interested that hurt you. Otherwise, we're just going back and forth all the time about Shanti Mira, Shanti Mira, Shanti Mira, and her really terrible life. Or it's not that terrible. Or whatever it may be. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have those that to be our relationship. I like what happened today. I don't want to constantly...
Okay.
I don't want our relationship to be grinding. I want it to be a light on your path.
Oh, it is.
I feel that too.
It is a light on my path.
I feel that too. And you are deeply embedded and seated in my heart. That's a fact. So I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Sometimes I will. But God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want you to come to Teerasacha sometime. We'll work it out.
I will.
Yeah, you will. We can work it out. Okay? Okay.
Namaste.
Namaste. Well, that can be the end of satsang. Mm-hmm. Sometimes love looks like a scalpel. Sometimes it looks like a can opener. Sometimes it looks like a heartbreak. But it's always magnificently clearing. Sangha, move towards self-realization. This must be our common vision. And I would say to cease to look at anyone else for any reason at all, in terms of comparison. And I would also say, cease judging. We'll have to discern, no doubt. We'll have to judge sometimes, but we stop entertaining ourselves with it. We're kind to ourselves. We're extremely kind to ourselves. Shanti Mira has no idea that the love for her is total, and the love for Gabriella is total, and the love for Antisa is total, and the love for Sahara is total, and and for Premo, and for Gangaji, and for Maharaji, and for God, and for Indro, and for everyone cannot be measured. It's so vast, so deep, so simple. Very important. There's no comparison in love. You can't. People play with love a lot. They, oh, well, I love you, but no, I don't love you anymore because you don't do what I want you to do. You haven't given me what I expected. So now I don't love you anymore. Well, that's not really truly love, but it is a great teaching in love. Because it has to stop. And you cannot see beyond those barriers of I can give and take love, and I can compare love, and I have given so much love. I have been the loving one, or that kind of story just has to lay down. Just has to lay down. Your extraordinary uniqueness draws in a total love, not a comparable or an equal love. I love you because you are Karen. For no other reason. I don't even know what it means. But I know that it's true. I know that it's true. Huh? I love Nenj because, and I don't even know if I love. I don't know if there's a gift giving or not. I don't know what the sky is. I don't know what this life is, but I know that love's the way because it's wise. And love is a giver. There's two kinds of people on the planet. That's givers and takers. Givers will always be givers. Takers can actually transform that and become givers. But the givers are lovers, and the takers are not givers. So simple. And it's all God, and it's all beautiful. And the takers teach us something, and the lovers teach us something. It's like a flower. It's like a garden of marigolds and a garden of roses. Namaste, everyone. I'm listening, Premo. I'm just going to turn me off. But I'm here.
Sharana Sharanam Om, Sharanam Namo. Sharanam Om Namah Shivaya
Mm-hmm.